Morning. You all right? Hope you are. Thank F, it's Friday, right? Another week down, another week over. You are the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. Without you, isn't anything. It's all for you. I hope you enjoy it. It has now ticked 1 minute past eight. There was a ever so slight technical issue. So it's actually 1 minute past eight in the AM on Friday, the 17th of July in the year of our Lord, 2026. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, yeah, all good.
There it is. The disembodied voice of the all-powerful producer. Let's stop faffing about, though. No need for all that fannying around. Let's just get straight into it. What's the legacy corporate mainstream media banging on about this morning? What's that evil cabal of Fleet Street editors trying to beam directly into your brain box, lying about by omission? What are they trying to tell you is important and what isn't? What have we got? Okay. Spending warning to Burnham and only 693 days till Euros. Okay. For the football people, obviously a bit of a joke. Only 2 years to go until the European Football Championships. And spending warning to Burnham. Okay, let's get into it then. The Daily Telegraph, the Tory graph. First of all, the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, issue spending warning to Burnham. Didn't people like myself or Dan Tubb and many, many others, people who know even a tiny bit about economics, say Britain, a lot of countries, but Britain, needs to slash spending. It's the fundamental thing. Spending way, way, way beyond your means. You can only borrow and tax so much. If you just keep spending way beyond that, it's an unsustainable thing. It's very, very straightforward stuff. Very, very straightforward. Now, the International Monetary Fund themselves are given a warning to Burnham. It says, the International Monetary Fund says, deficit must be cut as PM in waiting considers nationalising Thames Water. Well, they're not wrong. Fundamentally, the only real difference between a national purse and your private one is that eventually you die. At least in theory, hopefully. The governments don't die, so you can give yourself maybe sometimes, literally, hundreds of years to pay something back rather than 25. You're on the clock, 25 years to pay something back. 40 years for a mortgage, maybe. But no, governments can take centuries if they want, so they can just kick the can down the road and take on insane debts, what to a normal person would be insane levels of debt. The only way to really come back from the brink is to cut spending. But people don't like that, of course. Of course, they don't like austerity. And particularly the Labour Party at the moment, the left of Burnham's party, just simply won't allow him to do that, will they? They will not allow it. They will vote against anything that even sort of approaches that sort of thing. I was on the podcast at the beginning of the week with Carl and Farras talking about, I think it was on Monday, talking about whether the left of the Labour Party will give Burnham any sort of leeway at all, or whether they will treat him the way they treated Starmer, i.e. if he doesn't do what they want, don't worry about the fact he can't do what they want. If he doesn't do what they want, they will just undermine and undercut him and vote against him at every turn. I was a little bit reticent about that take, but that was my take. I think it's true. It kind of is true. In fact, we'll see later. We'll see later that there's already rumblings. Oh, yeah, there's rumblings on the left of the Labour Party talking about how they intend to hamstring Burnham in all sorts of ways. They don't do what he wants. Already about the Chancellor stuff. Andy Burnham will actually move into number 10 on Monday. And pick his team, his cabinet, and the left of the Labour Party want Ed Miliband as the Chancellor, but noises coming out of the Burnham camp is that he's not going to pick Red Ed. Red Ed might get the Foreign Secretary role, but probably not. Number, he probably won't get the Treasury, won't get to be Chancellor of the Exchequer. that will probably be Shabani Mahmood, maybe Yvette Cooper. See, I don't think any of those three people know about economics. Edmund Band, Yvette Cooper, and Shabani Mahmood. Particularly Shabani Mahmood. Is she an economist, is she? She spent her life studying political economy. No. She doesn't really seem to know much about anything, really, does she? Okay, all right. The IMF have warned Burnham and Great Britain, essentially, that you need to cut spending. They won't do it. This Labour government certainly won't do it. They will not. Their own party won't allow the leadership to do it, even if they had the political will at the very top. Government tried to pass a bill, an act, to that effect. Their own backbenchers would vote against it, therefore scuppering it. There we go. Just endless cycles of debt. And then they'll moan, and then the left will moan that the bond markets are holding us hostage. The bond markets that we effectively borrow money from by issuing new gilts. Not really. Anyway, they don't seem to understand the most simple fundamentals about about money. It's crazy. Okay, this is a story in the front page, a little bit of pure slop, so I won't do more than a few seconds on it. Claudia Winkleman, this woman, if you don't know, if you're not British, she's on TV all the time, totally overexposed. She's on loads and loads of things. She had her own chat show. Like primetime BBC chat show, and after one season she's decided to quit. That's it, and they're making a big song and dance out of it like it matters. It doesn't. Right. Sadiq Khan, the Mayor of London. Not to be confused with Mohammed Sadiq Khan, the 7/7 bomber. No, the other Sadiq Khan. The Mayor of London, who has endlessly tried to cover up grooming gangs and rape gangs in London. Tried to gaslight people that have tried to raise the issue. Tried to say there's no problem, and there definitely is. The Met re looking into thousands and thousands of cases. He has been handed a peerage in Starmer's honour list. Find that very, very, very annoying. In Bose Britain, I would look profoundly at the House of Lords as is, not abolishing it. That's a commie thing. But getting rid by Act of Parliament of loads of peers that are currently lords. Loads of them. Danny Finkelstein, Shami Chakrabarti, Luciana Berger. There's dozens and dozens and dozens of them that should not be there. Cuckoos in the nest. Luckily, the House of Lords hasn't got any ultimate power to block the Commons from doing things. But that's classic, isn't it? Make Sadiq Khan an enemy of the people and the state, as far as I'm concerned. Someone that's done his very best to cover up grooming and rape on a gigantic scale in London. Because why? Because what? Because tribal, racial and religious in-group preference for the Pakistanis. Is that why? Just asking the question. I'll make him appear, yeah. First Baron Khan. Great. Sure. And Keir Starmer said back in 2023 he wouldn't do this, i.e. just as he leaves office, quickly create a load of peers. So they're going to create something like 23 new ones, something in that order, and half or more than half of them are going to be Labour ones. Nigel Farage called it the uni party writ large, yeah. That's what they do now. That's what the House of Lords is now. When the Tories are in government or the Labour in government, they just try and pack loads and loads of their own people into it. Doesn't matter who they are, whether they're cretins, whether they're idiots like Luciana Berger, whether they've got allegiances to someone or something else. Mandelson, don't worry about that. They're just one of our guys nominally on paper. Pack them in there. Pack them in. What a travesty. What a slap in the face. Just taking one of our core pieces of history and heritage and scribbling all over it. Stomping on it. Grinding mud and grit into its face. Revolting. In Bose Britain, there would be dozens, maybe a few hundred peers that would be stripped of that honour, of that privilege. That debonair woman. She's a dame. She's a peer. Why? Why? Exactly the wrong sort of person. Stephen Lawrence's mum. Really? Is it Doreen? Is it Doreen Lawrence? She's a peer? Really? Really? I think I'd bring back Hereditary peerage. Get them back in there. Just because the lefties hate it. No, the House of Lords needs to be looked... Who's in the House... Who sits in the House of Lords needs to be seriously, seriously looked at. Anyone that isn't truly a patriot, clear them out. Look, clear them out. A lot of them aren't. A lot of them. Okay. Victory for pheasant shoots in battle over irrational licensing. Just a mildly interesting story. One of the government NGOs that is wanted to try and, on some level, ban pheasant shooting. Or not ban it, but just make it more difficult. You have to have a license. Have you got a license for that? And like the gun lobby, on some level in Britain, took it to the High Court and won. The judge calling the anti-pheasant shooting lobby irrational. Completely irrational or something. There you go. All right. Britain to blame for rapist, says Pakistan. They said that when he went to Britain from the country of his origin and the land of his ancestors, Pakistan, that when he went to Britain, it was Britain and British society that turned him into a child rapist. We're to blame for it, and so he must stay there and can't go back to Pakistan. Meanwhile, we're giving them £153 million. Just this year. Oh, sorry, Harry, I just closed that link to the BBC. Accidentally clicked close link. Could you get that back up for us? The BBC. Bit of a boomer moment. Went to click on the tab and accidentally closed the tab. All right, there you go. Harry's brought you back real quick. It's professionalism for you. Thanks, Harry. Let's see if I can find where it's talking about that. All right, well, I'll just tell you about it. Yeah, just today, or yesterday rather, the Commons voted on another £153 million in aid, quote-unquote aid, to go to Pakistan. Meanwhile, they keep sending their worst and refuse to take back their prolific child rapists and blame it on us. Strange relationship we've got with them. What net positive has Pakistan ever brought to Britain? Don't tell me the food. We've got the recipes. Don't tell me the food. What else? I'll wait. Just general purpose cultural enrichment, eh?
Yeah, right.
Sure. Sturgeon, Nicola Sturgeon, Wee Jimmy Cranky, a.k.a. Wee Jimmy Cranky, quote, stitched up salmon to hide truth, quote. What quote is that? Where's that from? David Davis, Sir David Davis MP, stood up in the Commons, apparently I didn't see this, but this little article says it, stood up in the House of Commons and he said, because you've got privilege in the Commons and in the Lords, you can say things and not get prosecuted for libel or slander, rather. he said, Nicola Sturgeon, a.k.a. Wee Jimmy Cranky, knew that her husband was embezzling money. He just says that she did know. And in fact, Alex Salmond, remember that guy that used to lead the SNP? He was in charge of the SNP during the referendum, the David Cameron era referendum. He's dead now, isn't he? He's passed away. But anyway, David Davis said that Nicola Sturgeon knew her husband was embezzling money and that Alex Salmond knew. And that she stitched him up, like tried to ruin him, or did ruin him on some level politically, in order to keep the whole thing running, the whole scam. It's David Davis, Sir David Davis's words, not mine. Just reporting what the news is saying. Can't take me to court, Wee Jimmy. I'm just reading out what's being reported in the Tory graph. You didn't see that camper van parked next to your in-law's bungalow. Why are you lying? You can't miss it. You couldn't have missed it. More than 600,000 Britons quote too fat to work quote. What can you say? Too fat to work. Revolting. Trump aide, an aide to Donald Trump, won $100,000 betting on his speeches. Goes on a fair bit, doesn't it? Goes on here, to a very small degree. There was an MP, one of Rishi's aides, got caught doing something similar. He's got privileged inside information. He's in the inner sanctum of power one way or another. Remember that one? But he was betting very small amounts. He bet like 200 quid there, 25 quid here, there, small amounts on what was about to be, what was about to happen, because he knew ahead of time. But this guy, what was his name? Perez? It's so small. Something Perez. He's Trump's teleprompter dude. Apparently he's been working with Trump since 2016, I think it was. His teleprompter guy. So he gets to see the speeches, the presidential speeches, like just before they're read out, basically. I don't know the exact time frames. Maybe he might have a day or two before they're read out, depending, wouldn't it? Be depending. Anyway, obviously able to get information, sensitive information, before the rest of the world does, and enough time, one way or another, to put a bet on, maybe just on his phone. Put a bet on, say, you know, whatever it is. And he made $100,000. Pardon me, $100,000. And he's now being investigated for that. Dirty, isn't it? Cheap. Dirty. It's exactly the sort of thing you don't want going on, isn't it? Just exactly the sort of thing. Well, it's cheating. I hate people that just overtly cheat like that. It's gross. That sort of thing's gross to me, it really is. Okay, the eye paper. Is this Pakistani woman set to become the Chancellor? Will she massively increase the amount of quote-unquote aid we give to Pakistan once she's in there? What are her real alliances? Allegiances, rather, sorry. Andy Burnham, no Stoner Burnham, set to be Prime Minister in 72 hours. Makerfield MP will be crowned Labour leader at midday today. Keir Starmer will address the nation in a final speech from outside Number 10 Downing Street on Monday morning, and then see the King to resign. Travels down the mall to Buckingham Palace and resigns. Shortly after, Andy Burnham will arrive with his new team to start work as the UK's next Prime Minister and sixth in 10 years. What an embarrassment. Trade unions and Labour MPs propel him to power without contest. I don't think the trade unions actually had anything to do with it, really. He won the by-election, so 25,000 people voted for him in Makerfield. And then he just needed a majority, was it a two-thirds majority anyway, he just needed a whole bunch of the MPs, the Labour Parliamentary Party. If he got enough of those, then it didn't even need to go to members and unions. And he did get enough, got over 300, 330 plus or whatever. So 25,000 of the good people of Makerfield and 300 plus MPs. That's it. That's it. That's enough for a completely bloodless coup d'etat. And we now have a political overlord with a new agenda that nobody else had any say in whatsoever. That's a stitch up. That's what that is. Shouldn't be allowed. In both Britain, I probably would try and pass some sort of act saying if any party changes its leader mid-parliament, you have to, by law, call a general election. Just putting in somebody else that hasn't got a mandate. The Messiah without a mandate, but with guyliner and mascara and double chins and a belly. And the mind of a student activist, a Fabian idiot student activist. Great. Starmer will be shortest serving Labour PM in history at 745 days, but still longer than Rishi Sunak, who lasted 619 days, and Liz Truss, who only lasted 49 days. There you go. Labour have never done this before, never queued out one of their leaders, sort of mid-term, never done that before. Labour MPs fire their first warning shots, calling for real change. See? Labour MPs, left-leaning Labour MPs, already trying to tell Starmer what he can or can't do. There's more of that to come. UK economy returns to growth. Just, I think it's 0.1%, and that's if you measure it in a very specific way. Returns to growth just as Burnham era begins. Yeah, we've completely flatlined. If you measure it in an ever so slightly different way, we're in recession. Now keep fiddling that so that as much as possible, so that they can still say, oh no, there is growth. It is, isn't it? It's like at the end of the month, your employer gives you 10p and says, what, you've been paid, you've got wages. What are you talking about? You've earned a wage. You're like, but it's 10p though. You've been paid. Stupid. The Times, the venerable Times. Mohammed Sadiq Khan, sorry, just Sadiq Khan, raised to House of Lords in Starmer's honours list that he said he wouldn't do. Right. Burnham set for left-wing revolt over Mahmood. See, I told you. Of course there was. Burnham is right-leaning as far as they're concerned, the left of the Labour Party. He's a rightist deviation. He's a Blairite. He's a Brownite and a Blairite. He's not true Labour. He's some sort of new Labour abomination. He's not proper old school socialist. So, they will revolt over everything he tries to do, which they don't like. They don't like Mahmood, do they? They consider Mahmood far too right. Not the right word, is it? Right, but still, in the scheme of things, in their paradigm. Well, the realities of being in power, actually being in government, is that you're constrained by a myriad of different things. Constrained by reality in a number of ways. And the left of the Labour Party aren't living in reality, really, are they? They've got their ideological view of the world, which doesn't take into account markets, bond markets, really, properly, not really. Don't seem to understand it. Don't seem to understand the concept of balancing a budget, of not being in increasingly more debt to the point of complete bankruptcy and default. Don't seem to understand that. Don't seem to understand, or rather, maybe they do, but just don't care about our utter demographic collapse. Don't seem to care about our invasion. In fact, they want more of it. More safe and legal routes. Just give amnesty to millions more people. Even if Burnham did want to do anything about those things, they won't let him. Just like Starmer. It's for the best, really. In a sense, that the Labour government can't really get anything done. Prevent them from getting through ID cards. That they're hamstrung by their own left. Good, I suppose. Just to wait the clock out for another 2 years. 2 and a bit years. And hopefully we'll get a change of politics. Hopefully we'll get restore or reform or something. Something that's not this insane, stupid, really stupid brand of sort of globo homo green socialism light student politics bullplop. It'll be much the same. Burnham will be very, very, very similar to Starmer. He's basically the same guy with some eyeliner. Labour divided by next PM's choice of Chancellor, yeah. They want Red Ed. There you go, King Charles poured a pint. Charles Charles sacks Coburg and Gother with his sausage fingers poured a pint, pretending everything's all right, pretending it is funny and he's happy and his family isn't falling apart. The very fabric of the monarchy isn't under fire profoundly. His own little brother isn't some sort of sex criminal. At this point, unconvicted sex remunerative, people trafficking and sex crime. Trying to pretend that's not the case. All right. Why were you such good friends with Jimmy Savile, Charles? What was that about? You're going to claim you didn't know? You're going to claim you had no idea that Jimmy Savile was a total wrong'un, one of the most prolific wrong'uns of all time? You're going to claim you just didn't know that? Okay. Okay. Just going to endlessly virtue signal in favour of Islam, are you? Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Aren't you supposed to be the head of the Church of England? Haven't you broken your coronation oath? Oh, but it's funny. Yeah, yeah. Pour a pint and have a big smile about it. Brilliant. Well done. Damn this king. Falklands are still ours, number 10 tells Argentina. It's on the front of some of the newspapers that at the end of that game. Don't worry, I'm not going to talk about football. Don't worry about it. Not football itself. At the end of the game, some of the Argentinian players held up a white flag. They're used to that, aren't they? But on, the writing on the white flag said something about the Malvinas. They go, look, the sun. Only 2 years, only 693 days until the European Championships. There we go. Look, there's the flag. Look, the tabloids are going with it more. The Mirror. Look, Starmer's last thing. The last thing he did, literally, pretty much literally, was go to Ukraine to give Zelensky one last hug and handshake and confirm his commitment to Ukraine, the most corrupt nation on earth. We'll be with you for as long as it takes. Our commitment to Ukraine is 100% rock solid for as long as it takes. That's the last thing you do. Odd. Not something in Britain, no? Not visit a war memorial or something. Or go to Westminster Abbey or St. Paul's or something. No, you go to Ukraine. Okay. To give Zelensky one more hug on camera. What a freak. What a freak. What a robot man. What a weird robot man. Starmerbot 2.0 must visit Ukraine one last time. Beep, beep, boop, boop. What is he? A traitor. An enemy. World Cup disgrace. There we go. Final insult. But there's the Argies with their white flag. It says Las Malvinas, San Argentinas. That the Falkland Islands are theirs. Argentinians accused of inciting hatred with Falklands banner shame. You're not allowed to do political things. FIFA have got strict rules about that. You're not allowed to just do political things on the pitch. Even after a game like that. Growing calls for FIFA ban, anger at stars who play here for Prem clubs. Some of these play in England for Premiership teams. Final insult, yeah. They've got a chip on their shoulder real bad about it, haven't they? Real bad. They did an effectively unprovoked war of aggression and then got whooped. And it destroyed their government. And they haven't got over it, still got a chip on their shoulder about it. The Galtieri government. Really? Really? You're going to look back fondly on the Galtieri government? Okay. Weirdos. Like this kid, look, I doubt that he was even born. Probably not, he wouldn't have been. Is anyone in that picture even born by 1982? Let alone remember it. Do they know a great deal about Argentinian history and politics from the 60s and 70s and very, very early 80s? Probably not. I doubt it. I highly doubt it. a child, basically a child, going on about the Falklands War. Maybe they do. Maybe they're scholars of the thing. They know all about it in a great amount of detail and somehow convince themselves they were in the right. I wouldn't have thought so. I wouldn't have thought so. Okay, The Independent. There's Claudia Winkleman with her ridiculous fringe. It's a ridiculous fringe. Saying why she's quit her chat show after one season. Don't care. There we go again. Something about the Malvinas. Get over it. Dear Argentina, get over it. World Cup isn't ours, but Falklands are, says Defiant number 10. Yeah, Keir Starmer, again, knowing that he doesn't have to deal with any fallout from here on out. Nothing. Doesn't have to. I don't think he'll have to make any more, or after this morning's speech outside number 10. That's it, he's done. Truly done. So he can say something that he would never have the balls to say before. Before now, you know, if something like this happened, he wasn't leaving office, you just ignore it or do some sort of pearl-clutching, hand-wringing thing. Well, you know, it was a thing. But now he knows he's leaving. He'll just say, no, they are ours. Suddenly found a pair of balls out of nowhere. Downing Street backed calls for FIFA probe into Argentina players who waved banner, white banner, claiming sovereignty over islands as Buenos Aires accuses British warship of illegal journey into its waters. Does it? The Daily Express, it's a good paper. You can read your Daily Express now. There's Sax Coburg and Gotha drinking a pipe, drinking a pint, pretending he's basically a normal person. We all know he's an interdimensional shape-shifting lizard man, don't we? I'm joking, of course. I don't think that King Charles is actually interdimensional. He is a douchebag, though, of the highest degree, grade A. All right, Falklands hero Simon Weston. Do you remember I mentioned him? He was on the Sir Galahad that got hit and was terribly burnt. Simon Weston slams Argentina players for disrespectful message. It's a childish and petulant insult to UK. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'd agree with that take. Childish and petulant. They don't... I highly doubt they really know what they're talking about. The Daily Star also go with the same thing. The tabloids, the broadsheets, don't seem to care all that much about this, do they? Instantly, they're not broadsheets anymore. All the papers come in tabloid shape, form, size. But we still call them broadsheets and tabloids. All the tabloids seem to really care about this, don't they? Bit of argy-bargy. Bit of argy-bargy. The argies have mentioned the Falklands. Don't mention the war. All right, the Metro. Ooh. Ew. The Metro smells gross. It smells like something died. The Metro, absolutely disgusting rag, the Metro. Completely subversive. Completely subversive. I'd seriously look at some sort of sedition act to close down things like the Metro that just pumps sedition into the eyeballs of our people on a daily basis. Diplomatic, oh, that's too authoritarian, Bo, don't care. Well, that's what's required now. Because the left have taken the absolute mickey for decades. Oh, that's very authoritarian. Good, good. Diplomatic row after England taunted. It's getting very messy. Funny, messy. Messy with an eye. All right, The Guardian. Ooh. Oh, that's turned. Turning my stomach. The Metro, sickening slop, sickening rag. Christopher Nolan, you know The Odyssey's coming out. The Odyssey director on taking risks, lugging kit and his new dog. Why'd you cast black rappers in that, Christopher Nolan, or a black rapper? Why'd you cast Zendaya as an ancient Greek deity? Why did you cast a small, diminutive woman as a warrior, a Greek warrior? Why did you do that? Why'd you cast a sub-Saharan African woman as Helen of Troy? Did someone make you do that or ask you to do that? Was that sort of filthy perversion come out of it? Was that your own decision? Christopher Nolan. Why are you trying to ride roughshod over the Western canon, Christopher Nolan? Why did you decide to do that? Why are you trying to damage Western culture and literature? What's wrong with you, sir? What's wrong with you? You mad? You mad? Piece of crap. Christopher Nolan. Oh, get away from me, dude. Trump's Board of Peace drops ambitious plan to rebuild Gaza. Remember Trump's Board of Peace? Anybody? Anybody remember that? Board of Peace? Anybody? Because Trump doesn't really like the UN, and I don't blame him. Absolutely don't blame him on that one. Doesn't really like the UN. Because that, like nearly everything else, has been subverted and perverted and inverted. The whole point of the UN, really, wasn't it? Let's be perfectly honest, let's be perfectly frank about it, was to help project the US's influence and power abroad. And the UN doesn't really do that anymore. Doesn't really fulfil that function anymore, does it? NATO doesn't really do what the United States wants, largely, does it? When push comes to shove. So Trump thought he would sort of make a brand new thing. The Board of Peace. First thing he wanted to do, do you remember? Was trying to do something about Gaza, the Gaza Strip, which has been largely levelled, isn't it? He wanted to rebuild it, put Tony Blair in charge of the project. What are we going to do? We're going to rebuild Gaza. It's going to be great. We're going to put Tony Blair in charge of it. Anyway, all of that scuppered. Even though Bibi and the Israelis said, yeah, that's a good idea. We're on board with that. Sure, Donald. Sure, sure, sure. When it comes to it now, we can see. No. Little progress on revised scheme for small temporary camp in Gaza to rebuild, rejuvenate Gaza. Make it a brilliant holiday destination. Like a great thing, like Macau or Monaco or something. Yeah, right. Tony Blair will be the overarching strategy master of it. He'll project manage the thing. Turn Gaza into a wonderful destination for tourists and investment. That always seemed, didn't it? Like completely pie in the sky nonsense. Well, now it looks like it's just not going to happen. Mayor of London is made peer by Starmer. Great. Great. United Front, Zelensky welcomes PM on final trip to Ukraine. How weird. These two things, just those two things. Starmer, right at the very, very end, makes Sadiq Khan a lord. You make Baldrick a lord. And on his last day, penultimate day, physically visits Ukraine. Says a lot, doesn't it? Says a lot. All right, the Financial Times. Zelensky dissent. Ukrainians angry at firing of defence chief responsible for drone success. Oh, well, you can't vote Zelensky out. You can't. The good people of Ukraine have no ability at all. Even the veneer of democracy. Even the pretense of any vestige of democracy. Yet there's not in Ukraine, no. There are no elections. Zelensky completely suspended all elections. Indefinitely now, it seems like, or until the war ends. Who knows? So, that's it. Stuck with Zelensky, that hand-picked globalist shill. A weird comedian, a weird globo-homo comedian dude. The people of Ukraine are just stuck with him. indefinitely, at least at this point, seems indefinite. Oh, okay. Okay. Starmer business aide Chandra to stay in job as Burnham puts continuity first. Oh, that's odd. I thought Burnham was going to change Westminster. I thought he was going to shake up and change Whitehall. No, continuity is more important than that. It's odd, isn't it? It's odd. Look, that. And he's going to keep all the main players that are in the Starmer government. People like Ed Miliband, Mahmood, Yvette Cooper, David Lammy, whatever. Most of them will, might be reshuffled a little bit around the cabinet table, but most of them will stay. Massive amounts of continuity down through the rungs as well, as that headline says. Burnham puts continuity first. Huh. I thought we were looking at a great new hope. Didn't you want to bring hope? Hope in every heart, was it? Hope in every household, something? But no, continuity. Okay. Well, which is it? Look on the BBC News. Andy Burnham to become Labour leader and will promise to fix things politics has neglected. Actually, the last headline was something different. It was about how Burnham, we had to refresh the page. Headline before was about how Burnham was going to change stuff. I thought it was a good juxtaposition. I've changed the headline in the last 40 minutes. All right. Is Burnham going to bring change, any sort of profound change, or is it just an exercise in continuity? He won't profoundly change anything, I wouldn't have thought. Profoundly, anyway. He'll keep down the same, effectively, the same path. The same path that Tony Blair put us on, beginning in 1997, in all sorts of ways. There's various governments down through our history that have been highly consequential. Perhaps the first Liberal government, perhaps the Attlee government, just after the war, and the Tony Blair government of 1997, where most, if not all, subsequent governments are in one way or another a continuation of their politics, of their worldview. Bumham won't do anything profoundly different. If you're thinking he will, if you hope he will, you'll be disappointed, I would have thought. Okay, the Daily Mail, pure globalist slop trying to pretend it's some sort of patriot. Claudia Winkleman, why I'm quitting my new chat show, don't care. Foreign aid farce over Rochdale grooming gang boss. £153 million for a country that won't take him back. Yeah, what a travesty. In Bowes Britain, there would be a reset with Pakistan. An economic and diplomatic political reset. That entire relationship would be reworked very quickly if I was in number 10. All right, that's the front pages. Increasingly infuriating front pages. Should we have a look at... Who's just spamming soon in the chat? Harry, get rid of them. If you don't mind. Ugh. Spamming stuff. Why? All right. Let's have a look at our... what do we call it? The poll. We asked you guys, are you concerned about the integrity of US elections? 70% of you said yes. 9% of you say no. 21% of you say don't care. They're the accelerationists, the people that are cynical. That you doesn't matter, you can't vote your way out of things anyway. 70% of you say yes. In fact, let's have a quick look at one of the stories here. It's in the Daily Mail. Here we go. Trump claims China infiltrated 220 million voter files and points finger at the deep state in controversial election integrity primetime address. Let's listen. It's about 3-4 minutes. Let's listen to this. I think this is really quite important. This is a big, big story. Let's listen to Mr. Trump.
America is back and doing really well, but we still have a major challenge that must be urgently addressed because no country could be great without fair and honest elections. Tonight, I'm announcing the immediate declassification and release of critical intelligence, revealing shocking vulnerabilities in our election infrastructure. This evidence shows that the election system we have dangerously exposes and really exposes like levels never thought possible to hacking, exploitation, and foreign interference. Just as disturbingly, this vital information has for many years.
Just to let you know, there is obviously it's a bit robotic. It gets better in a moment. Bear with it. Try and listen to what he's actually saying.
Been covered up and hidden from you. The American people are beautiful, our great American people. But that all changes right now. Our purpose in disclosing this information is not to weaken confidence in election, but to earn that confidence by confronting vulnerabilities and correcting them very, very quickly. And that's what we're doing. The documents cover 5 major areas of concern. First, they show that over a period of years, starting during the 2020 election cycle, the People's Republic of China carried out what is believed to be the largest compromise of election data in history, resulting in China's illicit acquisition of 220 million U.S. voter files. The second set of documents we are releasing reveals that members of the deep state, very, very famous group of people, many cases, in our intelligence agency work to actively suppress and downplay information about the extent of China's sinister election meddling, covering it up from both the president and the American people like nobody thought was possible. U.S. spy agencies began learning about the compromise of voter registration files in 2020 when they discovered that tens of millions of voter data, think of that, tens of millions of voters' data in 18 states have been bought, stolen, or hacked by China. Yet those responsible for sounding the alarm instead kept the information secret and hidden. They did not disclose to me as president or to anyone else, and to the best of our knowledge, they did not inform Congress. In fact, all they kept saying is, this is the most secure election in the history of our country, a standard, very pat line that was divvied out to say. Finally, to reveal just how vulnerable our elections continue to be, we are releasing the results of a stunning investigation by the Department of Homeland Security. According to the DHS review, state voter rolls and public records, they identified approximately 278,000 non-citizens who are registered to vote in federal elections. Since Democrat states refuse to share their voter files, the real number is actually much higher than that. Put together, these disclosures reveal an election system so broken and so vulnerable that no one can possibly defend it. It is not defensible. Together, we will restore faith and confidence in our country, and we will be bigger, better, and stronger than ever before. Thank you. God bless you. God bless our great military, and God bless America. Thank you very much.
A little bit concerning, if true. If almost any of that is true, which it probably is, isn't it? Would have thought so. Very concerning. Very concerning, I would say. 9% of you say you're not concerned about it. 22% don't care. Fair enough. Fair enough. I would call it concerning. Okay. Faisal Islam, who thinks he knows everything about how the world works now for some reason. Burnham's Manchesterism got him into number 10, but will it work for the UK? No, because it didn't work for Manchester. Manchester's a hellhole. No, so it won't work, no. China hits out at British steel nationalisation. This is interesting. Remember I brought to you yesterday that the steel, British steel, big chunk of the British steel industry, being nationalised, and surely it's for the best, otherwise we won't have any steel industry at all. The Chinese, one of their big companies was what owned it, the Chinese Jingai Group, I don't know if, how you pronounce that correctly, the Jingai Group. China's not happy about it. They said they firmly oppose, it firmly opposes and is strongly dissatisfied with the British government's decision. Don't care. Good, if anything. Yeah, fine. Oh, China is a bit upset that they didn't get to completely destroy our steel industry down to nothing. Yeah, I bet they are, yeah. China. China are not the enemy, guys. Yes, they are. Yeah, they are. Absolutely. You think Russia is sort of a strategic enemy? Which they are on some level. China much more so. China much more hell-bent on destroying our economy and society. Seems to me. Trump launches new strikes on Iran, says civilian infrastructure hit, bridges and things. Let's have a quick look in the ITV news. Yeah. US strikes Iran for sixth night in a row, bringing down bridges and a port tower. An image of that? I think there was an image of that. There you go, look. It's like big tower, like observation tower that looked out over the Straits of Hormuz in some way. They'd already been hit by a US missile, but now they completely took it down. Pete Hegseth retweeting that. Okay, so the war's just fully back on. Harry, do check the chat, please. If there's anyone spamming stuff. Sort it out. You won't mind. Okay. Burnham to become Labour leader today, as Starmer tells Sky News, I go with pride. Really? What pride? Pride? Proud about what exactly? Being politically an absolute failure. What is there to be proud of, really? He couldn't control his own backbench at all. Proud that he greenlit the giant Chinese embassy. Is he proud of that? Proud of letting out murderers and rapists from prison. Proud of that. Proud of raising abortion to basically almost the point of birth. Is that what he's proud of? Proud of the gayest parliament of all time. He actually said that, didn't he? See that a few days ago? He said, I'm proud that the UK parliament is like the gayest it's ever been. One of the gayest in the world. Yeah. Pride. Pride. Sure. All right. Oh, here's one little story out of Persia. Trump's wife and family displayed in terrifying blood-for-blood Iran coffin mural. Yeah, look, in Iran, in the middle of Tehran, there's some sort of big mural. Let's have the view. Look, that's what it looks like in its entirety. Look, there's the White House there on fire and a bunch of coffins underneath with Trump's picture and a picture of his family's on the coffins. There you go, look. Trump and his family and his kids. A graphic blood-for-blood mural depicting President Donald Trump, Melania and other family members in coffins has been unveiled in central Tehran. So I'd bring that to you, sort of an and finally story. All right, let's have a look at, on this day in history. You guys don't seem to mind that bit. I don't mind that bit. On this day, down through the centuries, July the 17th, what happened of note? Okay, on this day in 160 AD, I imagine. Would it be? No, more likely to be BC. More likely to be BC, wouldn't it? Yeah, because Carthage had been entirely destroyed by 180 AD. Six residents of Carthage. Oh, no, it must be AD. Oh, let me read it. It must be AD. Six residents of Carthage, the remnant of Carthage, North Africa, are executed for being Christian. The earliest recorded instance of Christianity in the region. It must be AD then, of course. Right. Hadn't Carthage been completely destroyed after the Third Punic War? Not one brick left on top of another. The earth salted so that nothing can grow there. Well, there's still something to say, isn't it? Near Tunis, modern-day Tunisia. Okay, on this day in 1203, Siege of Constantinople begins during the Fourth Crusade as Roman Catholic crusaders aboard a Venetian fleet attack the city. On my history thing show, behind the paywall at lotuscities.com, do consider signing up for as little as £5 a month bronze tier membership. Hundreds and hundreds, without exaggeration, hundreds of hours of history-themed content from yours truly. Do you think I talk about the Fourth Crusade in a lot of detail? More than once, actually. Actually, more than once. It was one of the few things. There's only two or three things I've done more than once. The Battle of Agincourt and Henry V is one of those. Another one happens to be the Fourth Crusade, where the Doge of Venice led Christian crusaders to Constantinople. Also Christians, a different type of Christianity, but still Christians. And in the end, got inside and burnt it down. The final fall of Constantinople isn't at the hands of the Ottoman Turk isn't until 1453. But it was dealt a terrible blow in the very, very early 13th century by Western knights, European knights. Constantinople never really recovered properly from that. It was kind of a shadow of itself after that. Between that and 1453, it was sort of a shell of a thing. That was really its death blow, the Fourth Crusade, 250 years before it finally fell to the Ottoman Turk. I want to hear about it all in quite a lot of detail, a few hours worth of detail. It's there. Okay, on this day in 1762, Empress Catherine II becomes the Tsarina of Russia after the death and rumoured assassination of Tsar Peter III. He was one of those Tsars that got assassinated. Was it Tsar Paul? Got his head smashed in with a bejeweled snuff box. Tsar Peter III got strangled, some say. Strangled with a silken handkerchief. Power struggles in the palace and he was out. Okay, on this day in 1918, the Romanov family and several of their retainers are executed by a Bolshevik firing squad in a basement in a house in Yekaterinburg in Russia, out in Siberia. The House of Special Purpose, they called it. Nicky, Tsar Nicholas II and his whole family had been ousted in February 1917. And since between then and this point, i.e. July 1918, been ferried around different places. And in the end, the Bolsheviks decided that they needed them dead. They didn't necessarily want to kill them. There wasn't a unanimous feeling in the Bolshevik ranks that they must be all murdered immediately. A bit like the execution of Charles I. It wasn't like all the Puritans just wanted to lop his head off straight away. And they ummed and ahed about it for a long time, and there was a bit of a back and forth, a bit of a political struggle. In the end, one particular faction, really, of the Bolsheviks decided that they need to be murdered. And they were lined up against that wall and all shot, all the kids and everything. In fact, that picture, just one slight note, it isn't as bad as it looked like the machine guns made that mess of the wall. No. They decided they wanted to dig out the bullets from the wall. So it was like evidence or something, like they could cover it up or anything. They wanted to dig out the bullets in the wall and retrieve the bullets that went through the royal family and into that wall. So they did. They dug out, they destroyed the wall a bit to get at the bullets. Bit of a weird, odd thing. But I remember first seeing that picture when I was a child and just assuming it was the guns that had destroyed the wall like that, but it wasn't. It isn't. Anyway, just a slight footnote. All right. On this day, 1936, Spanish generals Francisco Franco and Emilio Mola lead a right-wing uprising, starting the Spanish Civil War. Got a long-form piece of content with Harry, Big Harry Robinson. The only epochs I've ever done with Big Harry, actually. All about the Spanish Civil War. Loadseats.com. O'Day's Epochs. It's a funny way the left always characterised the Spanish Civil War. That Franco just led an uprising. Everything was fine in Spain until Franco started a war. Is that how it went? Is that what happened? No. Not at all. Not at all. It's not. This isn't a history show, so if you want to hear about in detail how it played out, how they got to that stage, and then what happened after. Instead of going over there, checking it out. Okay, on this day in 1945, leaders Harry Truman, Harry S. Truman, Joseph Stalin, old Joe Stalin, Uncle Joe, and Winnie, Sir Winston Churchill, hold their first post-war meeting in the Potsdam Conference, just outside Berlin, Potsdam. Going to divvy up the world. Of course, Roosevelt has already died. And Churchill didn't see the end of the Potsdam Conference. As I talked about on the State of Politics the other day. State of Politics. Barry Steinkamp, go to... On that channel, I talk all about the 1945 general election and the subsequent Attlee government. And on that channel, I'll tell you all about how, in the middle of the Potsdam Conference, Churchill loses the 1945 election and is replaced there by Clement Attlee. If you find photographs of the end of Potsdam, you've got Joe Stalin, Truman, and little Clement Attlee, little bald mustachioed Clement Attlee sitting there. Churchill's gone. He was out of power. Lots of things were decided at Potsdam, lots and lots of things. And so the Cold War begins. Well, it'd already begun, really. Okay, on this day, 1914, Malaysia Airline Flight 17 is shot down over eastern Ukraine by a surface-to-air missile launched by a pro-Russian separatist-controlled, launched from pro-Russian separatist-controlled territory, killing all 283 passengers and 15 crew on board. You guys probably remember that. It's not that long ago. Well, over 10 years ago. It seems like yesterday, doesn't it? Yeah, not much I can say about that. Okay. All right. Let's have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats. Is global church history in at number one? Yes, he is. Global church history. Here we go, number one. On this day in 709 BC, a total solar eclipse was noted in the Chinese state of Liu, then ruled by Duke Huan. Oh yeah, so solar eclipses are important for history in order to date exactly where we are, because we know through Newton's physics and maths, we know exactly when a certain solar eclipse will be, even going back centuries and centuries. So, if there's a record of one, even as far back as the 7th century BC, we're able to start slotting things into a proper chronology, professional chronology. Okay, and the second one you say, in 1453... Old Talbot, the English Achilles, was slain at Castillon by Jean Bureau's forces. Right, yeah, Old Talbot. John Talbot, the Earl of Shrewsbury. He was one of the great ones, wasn't he? In the Hundred Years' War. One of the great soldiers for Henry V and then Henry VI after that. He's even mentioned in the great St. Crispin's Day speech, isn't he? He served Britain, Henry V and Henry VI, for years and years and years. 50-odd years. John Talbot, you called him Old Talbot there. I mean, mentioned in the St. Crispin's Day speech, isn't he? Familiar in our mouths as household words. Harry the King, Bedford and Exeter, Warwick and Talbot, Salisbury and Gloucester, be in their flowing cups freshly remembered. This story, sir, the good man teach his son. And Crispin Crispian shall ne'er go by from this day until the ending of the world. But we in it shall be remembered. We few. We happy few. We band of brothers. Talbot actually wasn't there. That's one of the things, one of the things Shakespeare got wrong. Talbot wasn't at Agincourt in 1415. He was in Ireland. And I'm not sure if he was the actual sort of, Lord, what did they call it? Like a Lord Commander of Ireland. But he was in Ireland. He actually wasn't in France in the during the 1415 campaign. A little bit of a fedora tip there. Churchill got his... say it again, Churchill. Shakespeare got his history ever so slightly wrong on that one. Okay. All right, what else have we got? Let me do this with my mic so I can see. Geoffrey Farnall. It seems that Farage has been pushed back out by the deep state, who had reluctantly accepted him as the next PM. Will this make him more based or more desperate to be accepted? In any case, vote low. Interesting point. Interesting point. Yeah, some of the establishment seem to have accepted him, don't they? Even sort of pushing him in some way. It's funny, isn't it? The tension between, for example, the Mirror, or a fair amount of the tabloids, seem to despise Farage with a passion. Anything and everything they can do. Then other parts of the legacy mainstream media and the actual deep state in Westminster Whitehall seem to be for him on some level, or at least accepted him through gritted teeth. There's a tension, isn't there? It's not straightforward. Either way, vote low. Aim high, vote low. Millions must go. Okay, Matthew C. Reading two books on the Crusades brought from Oldspeak. Oldspeak Bookshop. Do follow them. Support them if you can. A period in history I knew little about will be indulging in the content you shielded earlier. Oh, good. On the Crusades. Well, I've got content on the First, Second, Third and Fourth Crusade. They're the main ones, really. There's many, many more. But the main ones are the first four. Each one's completely different. Got its own personality. The first one, probably the greatest one. Maybe, depending, you could argue. Second one, bigger, but wasn't as successful as the first one. The third one is Richard the Lionheart and Saladin. And the fourth one, as we mentioned there, supposed to save Constantinople. Supposed to go to Jerusalem and save the Holy Sepulchre from the Muslim hordes. But they only got as far as Constantinople nominally was a Christian city, which they then sacked. So the Doge can get a load of money. The Doge of Venice. Okay. Couple more here. Global Church History again says, Carthage was rebuilt in the 40s BC and became much bigger than ever before, with hundreds of thousands of people living in it. Ethnic Carthaginians like Septimius Severus boosted the city. Yeah, that's right. It never fully went away, right? Did it? Never fully. No, you're quite right. Yeah, it's funny when people try and argue that Septimius Severus, a Roman emperor, went on to be Roman emperor, that he was black because he was African. He must be black. He must be a sub-Saharan black man. No. His family was of mainland European extraction, and they had lived in North Africa for a bit. I say, Egypt is in Africa, so the Egyptians must have been black. Cleopatra must have been black, because Egypt is in Africa. Retarded. Okay, GWFF says, morning Bromley by Bow. FYI, I'm still seeing Epochs 223 Magellan Part 4 as a double upload of the Sir Walter Riley episode 233. I had a word with people about that. It's still the case. Thanks for letting me know. I'll have another word with them. Thanks for letting me know that. Everything needs to be in its proper place. Would be really sweet if this could be fixed. Yeah. Thank you for your courage. Oh, cheers. Thank you. Yeah, I'll get that sorted out today. I was told it had been. Annoying. Okay, but really, thanks for letting me know. Okay, and the last Rumble Rant. Hugh Mann, 17, says, Firas will be on Geopolitics, Badlands Media, with Ghosts of Based Payrick Henry next Thursday. I don't know any of those things. Badlands Media, Ghost of Based Payrick Henry. I don't know who any of it. Okay, check it out. Will be a great conversation. Okay, I'll check it out. All right, Harry, can you bring up the YouTube ones for me? There you go. Great. Okay, we've got about 20 or so. I'll quickly whip through them. already 10 past 9. User 4491 says, Nuremberg trials for Starmer and his traitorous ilk. Yeah, there should be some repercussions for the crimes of the governments since 1997, at least. Yeah, there should be. Absolutely. Repercussions for the likes of Blair and Boris. All the prime ministers and their home secretaries, at the very, very least. A lot of permanent secretaries in Whitehall. The unprecedented crimes they've committed against these islands and the people, the indigenous native people of these islands. 44 Magnum Norse says, every country outside of US is communist. If the US falls, then we have the privilege to live under global communist rule. Sound good? Not every country. What about that? Bukele. There's a few countries that aren't. Not a gigantic amount, though. David Betts, 1180, says, I'm back home in Anxion now. Anxion? I don't know how to pronounce that. Sorry. You're back home in a place I can't pronounce now. Argentina is right over the river. Loads of Argentine cars here with that slogan on bumper stickers. They can't let go. All right, yeah. It's a weird thing, Argentina. Yeah, a bit of a chip on their shoulder about it. Okay, 44 Magnum Norse again says, according to Marxists, quote, bread lines are a good thing. Oh, just real quick to say, a rumble rant just came in. Hugh Mann correcting his own typo. It wasn't ghost of based Payrick Henry, which is what he wrote. He said ghost of based Patrick Henry. That would make much more sense. Patrick Henry, one of the American Revolutionary War firebrands, give me liberty or give me death, that's Patrick Henry. Okay, they're called ghost of based Patrick Henry. Makes much more sense. Okay, thanks for correcting that. All right, back to the YouTube ones. 44 Magnum North says, according to Marxist, bread lines are a good thing. Are you ready to wait in line for bread rather than travel to Mars? Yeah, I know all about that. Are you asking me or just in general? Marxism is fundamentally terrible. Fundamentally doesn't work. I said it before. When Marx and Engels were writing in the mid-19th century, it was already out of date. It already didn't really make proper sense. And they were talking about European, Western, Central and Western European industrialised nations like Germany and France and UK. Britain. Marxism is profoundly wrong-headed and doesn't work. Leads to starvation. Yeah, I've said it great number of times on the show. Okay, the next one says, also from, on the next two are also 44 Magnum Norse. You put, Last Supper, if the Germans lost both world wars, why do they dictate the global takeover? Just saying. It's a long, complicated thing about the population and industry of Germany. On the first blush, it's an odd thing, isn't it? But okay. 44 German also again says, see, Germans run the EU, correct? WTF. Yeah, again, it's so long, I'd have to go into a long hours and hours talking about really everything going back to sort of at least 1955, and the first kernels of the European Union between France and Germany. It's always likely to have been the case that France and Germany, even just West Germany, France and West Germany would dominate Europe because of geography and population and things. But again, the real answer is, proper in-depth answer is much longer. I haven't got time for it here. Inquisitor Vex says, mod me. I mod for Carl's Akkad channel too. We will then. I glanced down at the chat two or three times today. What? Yeah, okay. We'll get in touch with you, Inquisitor Vex, if you can be trusted, which it sounds like you absolutely can be. Yes, please. That'd be nice. Get rid of the weirdos and the freaks and the spammers and the leftists. Chat's been very good on this show until quite recently, very recently. Okay. Inquisitor Vex. Thank you. Some Random, that's just their name, Some Random, says, Have you seen the Chinese T-800 robots by Engine AI? No, I've seen, every now and again it comes up in your feed, doesn't it? Like the new AI robot dancing around or doing something. I'm not sure. I don't know exactly what that is. The T-800 robots, like the Terminator, the first Arnie Terminator. That's a T-800, isn't it? T-800 unit, is that right? I'll check it out. I find that sort of thing interesting. Okay. J.A. Scott 93 says, I'm a leftist, but I enjoy watching the Lotus Eaters podcast from time to time. I love hearing different opinions on things. Please don't hurt me. Oh, that's okay. You're welcome. Of course you are. Yeah. There's no need to be a leftist, though. Search your feelings. You know it to be true. There's nothing good about it, particularly economically. Economically, it doesn't work. It has never worked. But welcome aboard. Okay. Nimrod5DS110 says, hey Bo, thanks for the show. Unfortunately, I'm still having an issue with my LE sub and have not been contacted. Is there another way I can reach out? I don't know. I will give your at to the guys in the office. Now, so again, I believe I was told they would look into it, but I'll do that again for you. That's the best I can do. Send in an email and put Bo said. They should see it. They will see it. You're trying to sub to us and it's not letting you or something. Yeah, we'll definitely need to sort that out. I'll get on that. Okay. Kiefer Brown, 1337, says, ODT 1762, Eamon Holmes assassinates Tsar Peter III. It's odd. I don't know what you mean. Eamon Holmes assassinates Tsar Peter III. Let me know what you mean. Didn't accidentally accuse Eamon Holmes of something he hasn't done again, did I? If anyone remembers that, I accidentally mixed. Probably the worst blooper. I'm pretty sure that's the worst blooper on the Bo Show so far. Was trying to talk about Hugh Edwards, but just kept saying Eamon Holmes. Eamon Holmes does nothing wrong. In fact, he's had some health issues. Get better, get well soon, please, Eamon. Hashtag pray for Eamon. I don't know what you mean there. Eamon Holmes assassinates Tsar Peter III. I don't know what you mean exactly. It's funny, though. Somehow just funny. Innately. Okay, MaxQ1. For all those countries asking for reparations, the response should be for royalists, for all British inventions to use in that country backdated to the date of first invention. Yeah, that would learn them, wouldn't it? That would teach them. Real good. Yeah, reparations. We don't owe you anything. We don't owe you anything. Anything, you owe us reparations for the peoples from your countries that have come here and committed despicable crimes against us. We want reparations from you. How about that? Reparations. Okay, MQSSS says, and it's a quote, someone saying this, I guess. Ice cream fund opened on poor Harry's behalf, now seeking a mod to do the heavy lifting and fetch the treats. Okay, yeah, we need to sort out a mod, don't we? At least one. Two or three. And I have retards. Kind of have too many retards for too long in the chat. Okay. User 4491 says, are you Team Rome or Team Gauls? I'm with our Celtic cousin. I did long-form content all about Julius Caesar's campaign in Gaul. Julius Caesar wrote an account of his war in Gaul. It survives to this day. You can just buy it in Penguin paperback. Remarkable. Julius Caesar speaking directly to you across a vast amount of time. I guess Team Rome. I don't know. No, I don't know. I'm an Englishman. I haven't got a dog in the fight. Okay. Aristotle Luton says, have a good weekend, sir. You too. Hope you have a good weekend too. Thank you very much for the super chat. And the last one here, Kiefer Brown 1337 says, Eamon Holmes jokes to continue till morale improves. Oh, just general purpose Eamon Holmes jokes. Start deliberately getting Eamon Holmes wrong. Look, on that picture, on this day in history, there's Winston Churchill, Harry S. Truman, and Eamon Holmes sitting there. Yeah, just start deliberately doing it for the lols. Okay, cool. All right. Well, that's the show. It's now 20 minutes past 9 in the AM on Friday the 17th of July in the year of our Lord 2026. Thank you for joining me. Without you, isn't a thing. Hope you enjoy the rest of the day and indeed the weekend. Try and make the best of it if you can. Carpe diem, seize the day. Your time is the most precious thing you will ever have. If you can, I know it's not always easy, but if you can, try and make it count. All right then. Until Monday morning, take care.